Luke chapter number 16, beginning at verse 19. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And Abraham said, Son, remember thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And beside all of this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torments. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
You may be seated. I want to preach on this thought tonight, seven things in hell that the church needs. Seven things in hell that the church needs. The tragic story that I read to you this morning is not a parable, it's a true story, because the Bible said there was a certain rich man. And there was a man named Lazarus. So what Jesus was recounting to you and I is an actual true story of an event that took place in the life of this poor man named Lazarus and this rich man. And we see how that, amen, that the rich man lived a life of ease and comfort and plenty. He had all that he wanted. Kind of sounds like America, don't it? Hallelujah. He lives sumptuously every day, the Bible said. He receives the good things, but Lazarus was outside in the street at the gate, and he didn't have very much. He begged. He lived, he subsisted off of just what he could get at the mercy of others. He probably ate the scraps that were left over from the rich man's table and the tables of others. The rich man ate well. The rich man lived well. The rich man had everything that his heart desired. And Lazarus was left out. But there came a day that both men died. You know, it didn't matter. The rich man's going to die just like the poor man. Hallelujah. You know, there's two things that we're equal at. We're always equal at birth and we're always equal at death. Hallelujah. Amen. You better believe it. Amen. In life, you might have more than another man, but you're born just like him and you'll die just like him. And everybody's going to stand before God. We must all appear before the judgment seat of God. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Everybody's going to stand before this God, and everybody's going to give an account of how they lived their life. Rich and poor, king and beggar, they both died. They're equal now. Hallelujah. Lazarus stood before God. He didn't go to heaven because he was poor. He went to heaven because evidently he had repented and had a relationship with God. I want you to understand, amen, we don't go to heaven or hell based on the fact that we're rich or poor. Amen, we go to heaven or hell on the fact that we repented of our sins and Jesus is Lord of our life. Obviously, a poor man, amen, went to the place of reward. Lazarus went to the place of reward because he had that such a relationship with Jesus that allowed him entrance into the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
But the rich man didn't have that. And he stood before God. He was cast into hell. Hallelujah. And the Bible says he was in torments with an S. So there was various kinds of torments being added to his life, and how that this rich man, he was so in so much misery and so much pain, even from the flames and the torments of hell, and he hollered across the gulf, big gulf between. And I'm not going to get into all of the I can talk to you about that later if you want to know some more details. Amen. But before Jesus, was resurrected, everybody that died, righteous, amen, and unrighteous, went into a holding place. Amen, with a gulf between them. Amen. And in that holding place, on one side was the righteous dead, and on the other side was the unrighteous dead. And the righteous dead on the one side were in a place of comfort and blessing in the presence of God. But those that lived wickedly were in a place of awful torment that we refer to as hell today. There's a gulf fixed where nobody could pass between the two. And the rich man hollered across and said, "Please send Lazarus over here. Would you have him just dip his finger in a little bit of water and come over here and just touch the tip of my tongue with it that he may cool my tongue?" Now, I've been thirsty a few times, but I have never thought that would be enough to satisfy me. Come on, have you? I never thought that a little bit of moisture on the end of a finger would do anything to slake my thirst. He must have been in some awful torment, Brother Ricky. And I preached a message one time on a little bit of heaven on the tip of your finger. Because that's all that rich man wanted. He just wanted a little bit of what was on the other side of the gulf brought over to his side. And you know what? God even denied him that. I want you to know there won't be a finger's worth of heaven in hell.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He said, "No, we can't do that. There's a gulf." Abraham, who was in a place of honor among the righteous dead, said, "No, we can't." Sometimes we refer to this place as Abraham's bosom because of that. Abraham said, "No, we can't. You can't pass to here and he can't pass to there. This gulf makes it impossible. He's not going to bring a little bit of what we have over to where you are." And he said, "Well, if he can't do that, would you consider even sending him, raising him from the dead? Would you consider sending Lazarus back to earth and warning my five brothers? Because I don't want my five brothers to come to this awful place that I am in." Hallelujah. Wow. And Abraham said, "No." He said, "We can't do that." He said, "We're not going to do that." And he said, "But if one rose from the dead, surely they will consider, amen, the words." He said, "No, they wouldn't believe. Even if somebody rose from the dead, they wouldn't believe." And we know that to be true because Jesus was raised from the dead and people still don't believe. Though one rose from the dead, it's not enough evidence for people even to believe, amen, in the reality of heaven and the reality of hell.
Amen.
And I'm preaching, that may sound a little strange to you, but seven things in hell that the church needs. The first thing in hell that the church needs today is fear. You hear me? I'm going to tell you, there's a loss of fear today. I can guarantee you, Brother Tucker, amen, Brother Cole Tucker. I'm calling him Brother Tucker here. Brother Cole, everybody in hell fears God.
Amen.
Woo! They might have lived a life, amen, in this life. They might have walked around and didn't fear anything, but right now they fear God. They might have been one of them Bubbas driving around in a pickup with no fear written across the back window. I ain't afraid of nothing. Bless God, there ain't a gun big enough to make me a fear. I'm not afraid of a critter in the woods. I'm not afraid of God either. I'm going to tell you they're afraid of God right now if they're in hell. Amen. They may lack the fear of God right now. Amen. But everybody in hell is well acquainted with the proper fear that they should have had for God. I'm talking about what the church needs. I'm afraid there's a lot of people in our churches that are losing their fear of God. You better be afraid. I said you better be very afraid. Amen. Because the beginning of all wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And if you don't fear God, you're going to stand before that God one day. Hallelujah. They said, I don't believe in serving God out of fear. Well, I want you to understand, everybody usually starts their relationship with God based on that. This is the beginning of all wisdom, is the fear of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. You hear me. Wisdom starts with fear. You and I teach our children based on fear. Amen. How many times have you told your children when they were little, small, amen, and told them, don't touch that stove, it's hot. Amen. Don't touch that fire, it's hot. Amen. Don't do that, it'll hurt you. Amen. What you were doing was underscoring the importance of staying away from danger, and you would express into them, amen, fear. I want you to know there's a lot of things I didn't touch in life because my mom and daddy told me it would hurt me. It put the fear in me of that thing. Amen. We better fear this holy God, because one day everybody in here is going to stand before him and give an account. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Without fear, we would be careless and put our lives in the way of danger. Fear gives us respect for that which will bring pain and harm and death. Hallelujah. Even Matthew 10 and 27, Jesus said, fear not them which can kill the body and not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him that is both able to destroy soul and body in hell. Even Jesus said, don't fear man that can just harm your body. He said, but fear him. Fear God who can destroy both your body and your soul in hell. Hallelujah. Unfortunately, there's many running around today, not only in the world but in our churches, that do not have the proper fear of God. You want to know what makes me respectful when I'm gathered together in the assembly of the saints? My fear of God. You want to know what makes me address elders in the church with respect? Amen. My fear of God. You want to know what makes me resist temptation? I'm on my fear of God. Oh yes, I love him. Hallelujah. And I also resist temptation because I love him more and I love the sin. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. But there is a proper fear in my heart towards this holy God. Hallelujah. I can't tell you when I was growing up how many times my dad would say, son, if you don't straighten up, you're going to get it. I knew what get it meant. Woo! It didn't mean he was going to give me an ice cream cone. He used negative reinforcement, not just positive. Sometimes, if you'll be good, if you'll quit acting up, I'll give you an ice cream. You're rewarding his bad behavior. Yeah. Screaming, if you'll stop screaming and hollering and kicking your feet in the middle of Walmart, I'll buy you ice cream on the way home. Hey, that kid's smart. He said, man, I'm going to do that next time. I get ice cream every time I do that. Whew. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. That ain't the way they raised me. Come on. Well, glory. Fear. Seven things in hell that the church needs. Number one is fear. Number two is faith. Now, I use the word faith here very loosely, because I know the actual meaning of the word faith used in the Bible is belief unto obedience. So I'm using the word here in the context of most religious people use it today. Amen. They believe, and the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. But we understand the word believe. It's much, much more than what people have made it to mean today. It's just not a mental assent. It's just not a mental decision. Amen. But it's a decision to change your life in regards to God. Hallelujah. The Bible says that the devils believe in God and they tremble. Do you believe the devils are saved? Just because they believe there's a God? Amen. Simple belief that God exists does not constitute biblical salvation. Amen. There has to be more to that belief than just a mental assent. Amen. Oh, I believe there's a God. I meet people every day that believe there's a God. Amen. But they keep on living in sin. They keep on living like devils. They keep on doing their worldly and wicked things. Amen. They're not saved. They're no more saved than the devils are. Oh, hallelujah. And when a man really believes in God, he's going to repent. He's going to turn from his sin. He's going to turn from all unrighteousness. He's going to embrace holiness. He's going to walk according to the word of God. He's going to love God and keep his commandments. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's the truth. Amen. Believe in God. Believe him unto repentance. James 2:19, I quoted, thou believest there's one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. I can assure you everyone in hell has faith in God. Everyone, there are no atheists in hell. Atheism is a luxury that people can have in this life. I say luxury and I use that very sarcastically. Amen. It's a luxury they can have in this life, but they'll never have it in the life that is to come. Amen. Everybody in hell believes there's a God. Everybody in hell has faith in God. Everybody in hell believes the reality of the judge of the universe. Hallelujah. Amen. I said there's some things in hell we need this morning. We need to have fear of God, and we need to have faith in God. Amen. Hallelujah. The third thing in hell that we need is tears. Hallelujah. The Bible in Matthew 8:12 tells us there's weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth in hell. Woo, come on somebody. Amen. Oh, I'm going to tell you, I believe in tears. How many believe in tears? I look back there at Brother Jared testifying, big old tears are running down his face. I'm going to tell you, that's a sign of a real man right there. Amen. A real man is willing to admit I messed up and I made things right. Hallelujah. Amen. I tell you, we need more of that in the church. We need more men and more women that are willing to stand up and weep before the Lord and willing to throw their hands in the air and not afraid to let others see them weep and cry. We need tears in the church. There's enough tears in hell. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There are those in this life that never shed a tear for anyone or anything. I can assure you they will shed tears when they get to hell. Hell is full of the tears of regret. Regret that they never submitted their life to Christ. Regret that they never surrendered to his lordship. Regret that they wasted the one life that they had been given. Amen. In chasing after fleshly pursuits. Regret for all the time they wasted. Regret for all the selfish things that they chose over God. Regret for every failed opportunity to repent. I'm going to tell you, hell is full of the tears of regret. Amen. But what we need in the church is for somebody to weep and cry now. Millions in hell weep. The altars in many churches remain empty and dry. Amen. Hallelujah. The more tears shed in our altars here on earth will mean less tears being shed in hell. Yeah. Hallelujah. Talking about things that we need. Seven things in hell that the church needs. The fourth thing is thirst. Wow. The rich man in our text was plagued with an unquenchable thirst. He was so thirsty that he asked if Lazarus could dip his finger in just a little bit of water and come and touch his tongue with it. Amen. This thirst, amen, it implies a thirst for water, but there's other thirst in hell that will be unmet. Proverbs 27:20 says, hell and destruction are never full. So the eyes of man are never satisfied. died. Amen. I want you to know there's people in hell right now that are thirsty. They're not only thirsty for water, they're thirsty for the presence of God. They're thirsty for the joy of the Lord. They're thirsty for divine love. They're thirsty for another opportunity to live right. But they will be forever denied a quenching of that thirst. Hallelujah. I tell you what we need in the church is for people to get thirsty one more time for revival, thirsty for a move of God, thirsty for the presence of the Lord, thirsty, come on somebody, for love, for mercy, for grace, for peace, for joy. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Jesus preached on the Sermon on the Mount. He, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. We know that the purpose of thirst is to drive us to that which quenches that same thirst. Hallelujah. I would never drink water if I didn't get thirsty. And I'm kind of person that gets so busy I don't stop to drink enough fluids. I'm terrible about that. I've had to really kind of rethink the way I do things. Hallelujah. I don't do it as much now, but I used to just get dehydrated because I'd get so busy doing something that I wouldn't stop and drink. And all of a sudden, when my joints start aching, my body starts stealing moisture from my joints, all of a sudden I realize I hadn't drank nothing in 3-4 hours. I'm out in the hot sun. You can't do that. Come on. And I might be thirsty, but I'm just going and going and going. But that thirst, amen, God gave you and I a thirst, amen, to drive us to the water hole. Ooh, hallelujah. He gave us a thirst, amen, so we would go and open that refrigerator and get that jug of water out. He gave us a thirst, amen, so that we would be driven to drink. Amen. I'm going to tell you, God gave you and I a spiritual thirst, and that spiritual thirst in me, it drives me to the altar. It drives me to my Bible. It drives me here Sunday morning and Sunday night. It makes me come on Wednesday. Why? Because I'm thirsty for more of Him.
Amen.
Amen. Or something wrong with churches lose their thirst.
Amen.
Well, amen. Many pastors are claiming across the country, we stopped having church on Wednesday night because nobody was interested in coming out. We cut out Sunday night service because nobody wants to come anymore. One man said, we don't have revival at our church anymore because I can't get the people to come. I said, you know what's wrong with your church? They lost their thirst for God. I said, they need what hell has. Hell's thirsty and your church is not thirsty. Oh, come on, something's wrong with that picture.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm thirsty. God be my helper. We're not cutting Sunday night services out. We're not cutting Wednesday night services out. I'm thirsty. One man said, we just can't have prayer meeting because nobody wants to pray. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to tell you what. We need to have thirst for prayer. We need to have thirst for the Bible. We need to have thirst for the things of God. Hell is thirsty this morning. Amen. Are you still thirsty? Hallelujah. Hell will be a place of unrequited thirst. Hell will be a place with much hunger and thirst, but no means to satiate either. The biggest thirst and hunger in hell will be for the presence of God, but there will be no presence of God in hell. Hallelujah. God help us. No presence of God. You know what makes hell hell? Not flames. That'll be there. It's not the darkness. It's not the gnashing of teeth. All of that is part of it. But the fact that you will never, ever, ever feel God's presence again. Even sinners enjoy the presence of God, whether they realize it or not. You pray for your lost loved ones, and they are beneficiaries of God's grace around their life. They don't know it. They may not understand it. Amen. But they're experiencing a measure of God's presence because of your prayer. But when they get to hell, there will be no goodness at all. Amen. All goodness comes from God, and all goodness will be removed.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So we need fear. We need faith. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. God help us. We need tears. We need thirst. Number five, another thing in hell that the church needs is growth. Growth. Hallelujah. Believe it or not, hell is in the midst of a mighty building program right now. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 5 and 12, therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. Ooh. Hell's building on right now. It's growing. Sounds like a lot of mega churches, don't it? Hell is enlarging and growing every day to accommodate the billions on planet Earth. Churches are closing their doors while hell is adding on more room. Hallelujah. Hell is knocking down the old walls, expanding to add more floor space, more pews, and more square footage. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. I want you to know hell is growing by leaps and bounds, and churches are emptying out. Well, glory. I understand the Bible said in the last days there'll be a great falling away. And if we were preaching the message of the mega church, which is they're not preaching what I'm preaching this morning, I can assure you, we could probably fill this building up. You know, anytime, and I'm not against growth. I'm preaching for growth right now. But I'm for spiritual growth, not just another warm body to fill a pew. Amen. Anybody can get somebody in a building, but can you get those people in that building, amen, to pledge their life to the Lordship of Christ and live righteous and holy? Anybody can put another body on the pew. Amen. Amen. If I were to get the singing group in here, we could fill this building up. I don't know who's hot right now in the singing groups. I'm not talking about world, but church people. I don't know. I'm kind of out of the loop. Get Jeff and Sherry Easter here to sing. Man, they'd come out of the woodwork. Come on, somebody. That's one I think of. Amen. Hallelujah. The Kingsman Quartet. Gold City. Well, you put out there on the sign, Gold City will be here Sunday night. You'll have people come to this church, they ain't never stepped foot in here. They'd probably never be back again. But they'd be here. Amen. I'm going to tell you what, we'd have cars. You think we got a lot of people here for camp meeting? Oh, yeah. I'm going to tell you what, you've never seen a crowd like we could get in here. Amen. Come on. Amen. If I were to tell people that Jason Crabb was going to be here, I'm telling you, they'd be parked on the highway out there. Amen. You couldn't get them in here. Ooh, come on, somebody. But are them people willing to live righteous and holy? Folks, it's no secret to how to fill the building. You got to appeal to the carnal man to fill a house. Amen. The reason we're not busting at the seams here is we're not trying to appeal to the carnal. We're trying to appeal to the spiritual. And growth is not something you can chart on a board on the wall. Amen. Some growth is something, amen, that takes place in the heart of a man or woman. Amen. Come on. Amen. I'm going to tell you what, I'd rather have a few that are growing in Christ and a full building of people that's on their way to hell. So when I speak of growth, I'm not talking about numerically. I'm talking about spiritually. We're not living in the book of Numbers. We're living in the book of Acts. Hallelujah. Glory. Amen. I see growth. Come on, guys. I see growth here. Whew. I see growth. I see growth. Man, that's growth right there. Brother Jared standing up saying that. Man, I almost want to throw the microphone to him. Say, preach a while. Whew. That's growth. Hallelujah. I can tell you hell's growing. They're growing numerically. Come on. We in a church need to grow. Not just numerically, but spiritually. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What is really sad is that hell was, which will eventually be cast into the lake of fire, was originally built for the devil and his fallen angels. Matthew 25 and 41 says, then shall ye say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Hell was originally built with the devil and his fallen angels in mind. Yet it will accommodate those that refuse to bow their knee in submission to the Lordship of Christ. There's plenty of room in hell. You want elbow room? Hell's got plenty of it. The good news is that none of us have to go there. Hallelujah. Woo! I'm talking about seven things in hell that the church needs. Number six, a desire for evangelism. Hallelujah. The rich man in our text had a desire to see his family evangelized. I read it to you. He said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, where I have five brothers, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Amen. That rich man in hell had a greater burden for people lost in sin and going to hell than some people sitting in our churches. He had a greater burden. Here's a man that's suffering in the flames of hell, and he's not just worried about himself. He's worried about lost family that's on their way to that same place. I'm asking you in here this morning, how much time have you considered your family that's on their way to hell? Have you thought about them? Are you concerned that they're on their way to hell? There's a lost man, a rich man in hell right now, and he's praying for God to send somebody to preach to his family. How can we sit here comfortably knowing that we got members of our own family that's headed to that same place? He had a burden for evangelism. And I wonder how, I'm thinking to myself, how many times have I let days go by I hadn't even prayed for them?
Come on.
Hallelujah. Think about it. I'm going to tell you, in hell right now is full of people that's praying for revival. Full of people that's praying, oh come on somebody, or amen, for somebody to preach to their loved ones. Amen. I said, my, they're praying more than we are. Shame on us. Hallelujah. This is the truth. People, we have the Word of God. Hallelujah. We've had the Word of God in our lives for thousands of years. Yet many people still walk in rebellion to that Word. Jesus came, lived a perfect life filled with the good deeds. What did they do? They nailed Him to a cross. Hallelujah. Listen to me. There's a desire for evangelism in hell this morning. That brings me to my last one. Seven things in hell that the church needs. The last one is prayer. The greatest prayer meeting in history. It's taking place right now. Not on earth, but in hell. The greatest prayer meeting in the history of mankind is being, amen, being enjoyed right at this very moment. Amen. Hell is full of prayer. Amen. Oh, come on. They might not have ever prayed a prayer in this life, but I can assure you there's a prayer meeting taking place right now in hell. Amen. People are crying out to God. Amen. Come on. The rich man in Luke 16 and 27, he said, I pray thee therefore. It's a man praying. He's praying for his loved ones, but he's praying nonetheless. And I'm asking you, are you willing to pray? Don't wait till you get to hell to pray. Pray now. Don't wait till it's too late to pray. Pray while your prayers will make a difference. Some people claim they never have time to pray. I said, you will one day. You'll have eternity to pray. Hallelujah. When we give the altar, come on somebody, when we give the altar call, there's always those that choose not to pray. Amen. There will come a day when they will wish they had chosen to pray.
Amen. That's right.
Hallelujah. Whew. I feel this. I don't feel like praying today. You will one day. You can shrug it off now. Believe me, there'll be every time you had an opportunity to pray and you rejected it, you'll remember it. Everybody's going to pray one day. The Bible says, Philippians 2 verses 9 through 11, wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess. So when I don't have time to pray, you make time. You don't find time, you make time. Hallelujah. I don't have time to bow my knee.
You make time. One day, everybody's going to bow their knee. Hitler's in hell right now praying. Think about that. Hitler is in hell. Lenin is in hell right now praying. Come on. Karl Marx is in hell right now praying. These are men that came up with much of the modern humanistic philosophies that have plagued our world today. Men that hated God, that shook their fist at God and said, I don't believe you're real. Well, they're praying right now. Hallelujah. Stalin, he's praying. Hallelujah. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Stand with me. Would you come to this altar? Would you find a place to pray? Would you find a place to talk to God? There's some things in hell that we need this morning. And if we lack it, we better get on fire for God and get it. Because time is running out.